God, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would get the glory. God, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. God, that it's all for you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you have done for us. God, I pray, Lord, that our worship to you would be pleasing to you. God, that it would put a smile on your face. God, I pray that this morning, God, that what we do here together, Lord, seeking you and your word and all those things, God, that you would be glorified through every bit of it. God, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity we have to meet together. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a seat. It's good to see you this morning. I'm going to ask, this past week we talked about the plan, if you will. We read through some passages in Jeremiah 29. And in that passage of scripture, we found that God has a plan for us. If you weren't here last week, I recommend going back and checking the podcast on that. But just talking about the plan got me thinking about, what do we need to do about the plan? I'm gonna ask Logan and Matt, will y'all come back up here for just a second? I need to talk to y'all about something. We talked about, God's plan last week and all that, but I got to doing some snooping around on the internet, and it got me, kind of looking at some stuff that's fairly important. And there's some stuff that we need to be prepared for, and I need you guys to help me prepare for it, okay? We're going to try to prepare the church, and I want you guys to be a part of the preparation, okay? Can y'all help with that?
Sweet, yeah.
Okay, cool. So in fact, let me just go ahead and give you guys some of this stuff here. There's some checklists here if I don't lose them all. And on these checklists, we've got some stuff that I think, in fact, that's a really important one right there. That's part of that one. This one here, I don't have as much circled on this one here, but that one I've got a lot circled. In fact, why don't you swap with me? These checklists, I was just thinking, man, if we're going to be prepared as God's people and as a church, then we need to be like checking out what we need to be doing prepared like for this world and stuff and what's going on. And so in Googling, some preparation stuff, I found these checklists, and they're for this thing called Y2K. And I want us to be prepared for this because apparently it's coming and it's not going to be good. And I am just amazed that I have not really heard a whole lot about this, at least in the last few years, because I don't ever remember it actually getting here. And apparently it's still coming because it's on the internet, and everything on the internet we know is true. And so, right here it says that the American Red Cross also suggests filling your gas tank before 12/31/99. So we need to do that. But it also says withdraw your money from the bank. It also says we need to be careful. Check this out. You should keep in mind that your car may have embedded chips that control vital functions such as power brakes, power steering, electronic fuel injection, and other functions. In other words, when Y2K gets here, our cars are not going to work anymore. Are you aware of this? Damn. Did you know about this? The embedded chips, and this is one of the reasons I wanted you guys to be involved, because I felt like there was probably some equipment up here that probably has embedded chips in it, and everything with embedded chips apparently is out on this deal. It's gone. It's completely acoustic. On top of that, I mean, they're just giving you some good advice here. If lights go out due to power failures, flashlights, not candles, should be used for lighting purposes. They don't tell us why, but they tell us that's what we should do.
Candles have chips too, I guess.
They might. And then here's just a long list of things that you need. And some of this stuff, you've got anti-diarrhea medication. You want a non-electric can opener or utility knife because, there's probably not going to be any electricity. Although they say make sure you have aluminum foil, signal flares.
This is good.
What is that?
It says to fill up your tub, your sinks, your pots, pans, vases, everything that can hold water, fill them up. Wouldn't that get kind of nasty?
That'd be kind of like the movie Signs, I think. Denture needs. It also has on the list to have a whistle. I'm not sure why. Maybe you're like calling a basketball game or something. And here's one of the best ones. An extra set of keys for your car.
That doesn't work.
And a shovel. So that if I die, you can bury me. Okay, that's what that's about, because none of the backhoes will be working. So we got Y2K preparations all over the place. That one's actually off of what you got?
It says write your president a letter and tell him all of your concerns. Gives his email address right there, his fax number, and we can give that to you later.
we'll try to get that on the screen for you. Listen, thank you guys for helping me prepare for this. I really appreciate your all's help. You guys do a great job at everything you do, and I'm sure you do a great job at this. Thank those guys for helping us prepare for Y2K. I'm sure you do remember Y2K, as I do, and some of you are the guilty ones of people that hoarded up the stuff. Just out of curiosity, anybody that would be honest, of you stockpiled stuff for Y2K. I just want to just right there. Doreen is right up front. She is on top of the list. If you're one of those people, just raise your hand. I'm just curious as to see who all stockpiled for Y2K. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Bunch of liars. You're in the house of God. Come on. No stockpilers for Y2K. You know, but it's funny. In fact, I was having this conversation with one of our folks here recently about their mother, who had stockpiled. They were talking about the amounts of bottled water and all this stuff that they had stockpiled for Y2K. Amazingly enough, this stuff really is off of the internet. It's still on there. You can go Google Y2K checklist and find tons of checklists that apparently people don't know how to update their websites. But I found that pretty humorous, and I found it humorous back then, you know, and I guess because I, you know, generational thing. I know a lot of people were scared at one time and all that stuff, but you know, I know my generation probably wasn't as scared as other generations were. And at the time of Y2K, it was so funny to me how much preparation would go into something like that. Something that basically people would use scare tactics to get to us, to make us think that the world is going to come to an end, or that all the electricity is going to be out, or that your car's brakes will fail at midnight of the year 2000, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, but people did that. People prepared like just crazy for that. And all through Scripture, we see God showing us that we need to be prepared for some stuff. And there's several things going on with that, and we're not going to get into all of them today. But I want to let you know something. We're going to be studying something in the next several weeks. And this is why we're doing this today. We're going to be studying something in the next several weeks that I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that anytime I teach about the type of things that we're going to be studying on, anytime that we look at those types of things, we are going to be attacked. And we're going to be attacked because we're kind of calling out some truth about spiritual warfare type stuff. And this is one of those things that, you know, I tread lightly when I talk about it, because I don't want to sound like a crazy person or anything, but I want us to understand that spiritual warfare is real and that we can't ignore that. I know that there are a lot of crazy people on TV that talk about all kinds of different things, and a lot of it's unbiblical, and they call themselves Christians and all that kind of stuff. But don't get those people and things that maybe they have taught mixed up with what Scripture is teaching us. The stuff that we're going to be studying together as a church, we need to prepare for. And that's where we're headed with this today. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to make sure that we're in sync with who God is wanting us to be with Him. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be a lot of mornings, a lot of Sunday mornings that you're going to all of a sudden, you know, feel, oh, really sleepy, and oh, we're not going to go, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not just saying that just to say it. But I'm telling you that this is real stuff going on. God wants us to understand some things, and today we're just going to get just kind of a little brief something about how we can begin to prepare ourselves. In fact, the passage of Scripture that I read at the beginning of the service, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we do have this. This passage of Scripture begins us understanding where we need to prepare ourselves. And it's a in the heart type thing here. And it says in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. self-controlled. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. In verse 15. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This passage of scripture is giving us something to think about. It's throwing out there that it is important for us to prepare ourselves to be the people that God is wanting us to be. Let me just ask you something. Hey, you think about the things that we prepare for in life. You know, I don't know what channel it is, but it's one of the channels. I call them the in-between channels on our little thing. But they're like all the news channels all together. And late at night, one of those channels has on a show that basically they have entrepreneurs come on. Mostly people that have started successful businesses. And they've got these people on there and they're telling how they started this successful business, where the dream came from, how they implemented it. And I love watching those shows. I can identify with them hugely because of starting a church, and very much kind of almost the same kind of idea that when you have something that's like a dream, God's given you something, or it's, you know, maybe not something God's given you, but whatever it is, and you feel like it's something that you want to see happen, you have to plan for it. And of course, in a business and even very similar to church, you do things that look like a business plan. You know, for us as a church, we prayed about what this was going to look like. This is no, you know, so far I'm not surprised. You know, a lot of people come here and they're surprised. I'm not surprised so far. This is what I foresaw this looking like to some degree. I didn't, you know, necessarily imagine the colors or, you know, whatever, but you get the picture. And for all those folks that go on that show, I see them and they've created a business plan and they have followed through with it. And long before they got to crossroads of hard decisions that they would have to make, they decided how they were going to deal with certain things. So that when those things came along, they had already kind of pre-written into the thing, this is the way this is going to go. When we get to this point, we're going to deal with this like this. Planned ahead. All through scripture, God is throwing at us this preparation thing. And I'll just be real honest with you. There's a lot of Christians that are great at preparing and terrible at pulling the trigger. And I don't want you to get caught there today, okay? Because there's a lot of folks that are there, I mean, they are just dedicated to Bible study. But their life does not live that out. They don't serve God in any capacity as a part of the church that they're in, which is completely unbiblical. They don't give. They don't love people in their own families. The list goes on. I mean, this is just stuff. I mean, this is sin stuff that we all deal with, right? God wants us to be prepared, but he does not want us to live in the preparation moment all the time. Now, here's kind of a clincher to this whole thing. The preparation process is something that we still have to do all the time. I'll just tell you, every time the preparation that goes into me just even getting up here to speak is beyond people's imagination of things that I go through personally. I won't even get into the physical parts of that. I mean, it's just crazy what my stomach does and just all of these things. And the time spent in prayer and the time spent in scripture and just going, okay, God, what is it that you want for us? What is it that you want for our church? Because this, you know, and you know, if we all came, if we all got in the car on Sunday morning and we all came to church and we had prepared our hearts for worship, I think this might even look a little bit different. I mean, this is a great thing. What we get to be a part of this body of Christ is an unbelievable thing. But if we were to prepare our hearts before we even got here, And let's throw out the church thing. Let's just say, what would your life be like if you prepared your heart every morning? What would your life be like at work? What would your work situation be like if you prepared your heart every single day when you roll out of bed? And not every day, but some days I roll out of bed and the first thought on my mind is, what is this day going to mean for God's kingdom? And on those days, those are good days. It doesn't happen every day. But on those days when I'm thinking in that direction and I have that thought, as soon as I wake up, I immediately begin to seek God and just pray. I'm praying and I'm getting ready for the shower and I'm in the shower and I'm praying while I'm in the shower and I'm praying for, you know, stuff that's going on and people in my heart and that my heart would be right. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's a prayer that I pray almost daily, where I'm just constantly asking God, God, I want to be in sync with you. I don't want to be in sync with what Chris wants. I want to be in sync with what you want. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be devoted to God, to be dedicated to Him. That your life is thinking in sync with what God is wanting for your life. Now here's the kicker. This is hard for us. It's hard for us to imagine our life because we are so into ourselves. It's hard for us to imagine our life being all about God. But that's what we're called to. And you say, well, Chris, you know, how in the world can my life be, you know, very meaningful as far as, you know, the things that, you know, I need and all of those things? If my life is about God, how is my life going to be very meaningful? And I'll just say to that, the question that I have is, I don't know how your life would ever be meaningful if it is not centered around a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your life will lose meaning without God. I mean, just think about it. What's the purpose in not sinning? I mean, there's tons of stuff in this world that I go, man, that looks good, but it's sin. and as much as my flesh goes, that looks like that would be fun or that would be pleasurable or whatever it is, in my heart, I know that God is telling me, no, that's not what you want to do. That's not my plan for you. I've got a plan for you, and it's much better than that one. And for us to tap into that and begin to understand that our life gains meaning when it is about Him and when we are attempting to be holy, dedicated to Him. You can also go with that, set apart by Him, for Him, with the holy thing. To think about the fact that God has set you apart to do something. I want you to think about that for just a second. God has set you apart to do something. What is it? I don't know. I can say this much. It's to follow His will. And this is God's will. Everybody wants to know, what's God's will for my life? This is it. He wants you to live in His word. In fact, we're gonna go right on to that. In Ephesians chapter 6, we've got a passage of scripture, and we're gonna run through this passage of scripture. And this passage of scripture gives us some very basic things for us to be prepared for. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna say this one more time. I know I said it earlier. But the stuff that we're going to be looking at in the next several weeks, it's good stuff. We're going to grow from it. Our church is going to grow from it. I'm going to grow from it. I always grow from anything that I'm teaching. I'm usually teaching at me, you know, just so you know that. I've had people say, you know, you're reading my mail, you're preaching at me. And I'm like, no, I'm preaching at me. That's the way this goes. And in the next few weeks, the stuff that we're going to be looking at, we've got to be ready to come under attack because we're willing to go there. And a little bit of that is scary. I'll just be real honest with you. And I feel like even yesterday, I felt a couple things happen that I just even felt were just even already heading in that direction because we're attempting this. And so we need to be prepared. How do we prepare? How can we possibly prepare for what God has for us? This passage in Ephesians chapter 6 is a passage that many of us have read through this passage before. We've maybe studied it before. If you've been in like a kid's scenario, you've gotten to see some really cool, like cute little like kids things to maybe kind of even use an example and that kind of thing. But this passage of scripture is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Now, before we even go any further, I want you to understand something. God is not interested in us copping out or being like the Christian sissies or any of that kind of stuff. He wants us to be strong in who he is and who he has created us to be. This passage of scripture is about the armor of God. This passage of scripture holds in it keys for us to make it through things that we are going to come up against. I don't know about you, but we've come up against stuff in my family and in my life. I'm sure that in your life and in your family, you've come up against some stuff. Why? Why does that happen? We're going to be talking about that in the next several weeks. But in this passage of scripture, God is giving us, through Paul, just some amazing, amazing tools for us to use. And he's just using some stuff that makes sense to us as far as a soldier goes. And in verse 11, he starts into this and he says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers against rulers, against the powers, and against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness and in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Stand firm. Now, check this out. Okay, here we go. "Having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Right there, we've got several pieces we're going to talk about in 1 second. Keep going here in verse 16. It says, "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition that all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." This passage of scripture is full. I mean, it is so full. You could do a series, you could do 15 series on this passage of scripture by itself. But in this passage of scripture, we're seeing some keys to doing some stuff that we can do daily. Let me ask you a question. At what point do you just not want to just play church anymore? At what point do we really desire and seek that we could really be God followers in everything that we do? This is the struggle that we all deal with. I'll just be honest with you. It's one of those things that Satan will use against me in my personal life at times to just go, "Chris, you know what? They don't really care. They don't really care. They're just coming to do something. They don't really want to follow God. They just want to sing the songs. They don't really want to do his word. They just want to hear about it from time to time." And in that, I hear Satan saying to me, "Give up. It's not worth it. Go do something else. Go get your business plan and start another thing. Do something that'll make a lot of money. Because, man, doesn't that sound good?" We all have those things in our lives that we are struggling against. We all have those things that we hear Satan speaking to us about. I hear it too. We are all fighting against that stuff. The question is how do we protect ourselves? this passage of scripture gives us just some very basic things, and I just want to run through some of them. And it says, we're going back to verse 12 here, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Stand firm, therefore. Here it goes, right here. "Having girded your loins with truth." And right there, that's the belt, okay? And if you're going to take notes on something today, this is something good to take notes on. But the first thing is the belt. And it's saying that basically we need the belt of truth. What does that look like for us? The belt of truth? Well, it first of all starts with being able to decipher untruth. When you know truth, you can decipher untruth. When I am in this, and this is so important for us. I mean, I know that we're busy. I know that we got a lot going on, but if we're missing time in God's word, then we're missing it. You are not going to be able to tell truth from untruth. You're going to let people sell you on stuff, and more importantly, you're going to let Satan sell you on stuff, just like some of the stuff I was just talking about. You know, in the moment, it sounds like truth, but it's not true. And God's word proves that it's not true. And when we're living in God's word, it doesn't mean that you're memorizing it from front to back. That's great if you can do that, and if you'll begin even just memorizing parts of it, that's even better. But for us to understand that we don't read this for a book report, that we read this for God to speak to our heart. This is God, like, I mean, I'm sure that like God is in heaven right now and he is just like screaming this at us because he does not want to see us struggle. He does not want to see us go through some of these things that we're going to have to go through and fail. Now, it is definitely part of the plan at times that we're going to go through some stuff. It's meant to happen. It's going to happen. And we can sit around and ask us, well, God doesn't want, you know, bad things to happen to people. Well, that's not true. You know, sometimes he has us go through things so that he can teach us things. But in the midst of it, he doesn't want us to get beat down. He wants us to be ready. We don't send soldiers into battle and just say, hey, good luck. Watch some Bruce Lee movies and go out there and do your best. No, we give them armor. We give them guns. We give them whatever they need to go fight in whatever situation that it is. And God is screaming this at us this morning because he wants us to understand that if we'll grab a hold of this, that we're going to use it when the time comes, when the tough time comes. When Satan attacks, we're going to be able to tell the truth from the untruth. It goes on, it says also in verse 14, after having girded your loins with truth, it says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And I just want you to understand something. When we're seeking God, we're seeking that being holy thing. When we're seeking being righteous, when we know God, God has made us righteous through the sacrifice of his son, and that's a whole big ball of wax this morning, but I want you to understand something, that this breastplate, this is the thing that helps us protect our hearts. If you've got people all in your life right now basically looking at you and saying, you know what, your life is worthless, and you're missing it, and you're not any good, or if you feel like when you get up in the mornings that you're not accomplishing anything, or you know that you might as well just not get up at all, you might as well just stay in bed. This is the thing. Being made righteous in who God has created us to be and knowing his son as our Savior gives us self-worth. Let me ask you a question. Are you dead yet? No. I kind of kid about it. Maybe I shouldn't. I've been around death a lot because of being a preacher's kid and being a pastor, whatever. You know, it's just something that you're around a lot. So I don't, you know, it happens. You know, I'm sad when it happens to people that I've loved and that type of thing. But I kid around a lot about, you know, people say, well, you know, what do you think? Do you think God has a plan for your future? And I look at him and I usually say, well, he hadn't killed me yet. maybe that's funny, maybe it's not. I don't know. To me, it's kind of funny. It's okay to laugh if you want to. And so it's one of those things that, you know, I've kind of come to this understanding in my life that if God is keeping me here, he's keeping me here for something. The plan is not done. There is something going on out there that I'm supposed to be a part of. And it's God's plan. Of course, the goal is finding that. But for us to understand that the breastplate of righteousness is the thing that gives us self-worth is huge. This goes on. We're going to keep going here because we've got a few more things to look at. It says in verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's just basic, just, I don't know if you want to call it combat boots or whatever it is, but your footwear as per the example here. And it's that we would be ready to spread the gospel. And that's one of those things that I think a lot of us are just flat scared of. We don't want to be ready to spread the gospel. We don't want to be ready to talk to people about God. We don't want to be ready to go there and, have to explain things that we believe. And when they ask us a question that we can't answer, we're like, oh, I don't know. And it's like, so? I mean, do you know everything about anything? I mean, come on, really? No. You see, the last thing this world needs is a bunch of Christian know-it-alls. What this world does need are people that are just living in God's grace, trying to figure it out every day and inviting people to come join them with that and just say, you know what, I don't have this figured out, but God's changed my life and he can change yours. That's the readiness to spread the gospel. It goes on here and it says in verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I don't know about you, but I don't like flaming arrows coming at me. That's not something I'm digging, especially from the evil one. I don't like the evil one, and I don't like flaming arrows being shot at me, especially by him. So this thing looks and sounds pretty good to me, and that's a shield, and it is faith. And I think for so many of us, when we get in the moment of when something's going on in life and it is tearing us down, it is tearing us apart, we begin to get in this little thing of, maybe I don't need to do this Christian stuff. Maybe I don't need to worry about church. Maybe I don't need that stuff. I know God wanted me to do that, but maybe I shouldn't do it. And I'm just here to tell you, if God is telling you to do anything, I can't encourage you more to do anything on this planet than that. The scariest thing I ever did was follow God. And I'll be honest with you, it's still the scariest thing that I ever do. Faith is easy to talk about, but it's hard to have. But God has given us the faith that we need. But we'll only have it if we're in a relationship with him, spending time with him. Because when we get apart from that, Satan recognizes and he starts to shoot the arrows. Verse 17, it says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've talked about that. The importance of us being in God's word, in listening to him, in seeking him. Goes on, verse 18, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You know, I think this is one of those things that we just miss. We say we have a relationship with God, but who do we really have relationships with? Some of us, our relationship with God looks like a relationship that we semi-think that we have with somebody that we watch on TV. You see, we have relationships with people that we live with and people that we talk to and people that are friends of ours. We don't have relationships with people like Sylvester Stallone. Forgive me, I was watching Rambo. You know, and for us, I think for so many of us, we get to thinking, we look at God and we think about God like he's somebody on TV, and our relationship to him is based upon knowledge that we've read in the tabloids. God wants us to have a relationship with him. That means talking with him. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, with boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. That's big stuff. Then in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And right there, we have the words of like one of the greatest Christians of all time. And he's basically saying, I'm an idiot and I need you to lift me up because I'm scared of taking the gospel out. Paul understood something. He understood that if he took out the gospel, if he did what God called him to do, Satan would attack. And I'm just here to tell you today, you've heard me say it a bunch of times over, that knowing Christ, coming to Christ, doesn't just fix everything, but at the same time it does. You see, Satan is going to begin to attack you, probably like he has never before, when you give your heart to Christ. But the relationship that you get with knowing God as your personal Savior is the most amazing thing that could ever happen in your life. If you'd like to talk about that, I'll be hanging out after the service this morning, and I would love to get to talk with you about it. The preparation is every day. Are you getting that? This preparation is every day. But the great thing about this preparation is every time we do it, we are rejuvenated in a way unlike before. You know, and we're great at preparing for Y2K, and we're great at preparing for the business world. But man, God wants us to prepare our hearts to see what he wants to do with us, because there is a plan. There is a plan. But along with that plan, at times comes trouble.